Let's begin verse 1. These are also Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. The heaven for height and the earth for depth, the heart of kings is unsearchable. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Take away the wicked from before the king, and the throne shall be established in righteousness. Put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. For better it is that it be said unto thee, come up hither, than that thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another, lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thine infamy turn not away. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. All right, let's stop there this morning. We'll pray and then we'll get into the lesson today. Lord, thank you for the word today. Thank you for the truth of it. Thank you for the power that we find in thy word today. And Lord, we know thy word is only as good as we open our heart to it. And as we allow, Lord, your word to sink into our own heart and our own mind. We know, dear Lord, that you have great wisdom for us. You have things that, Lord, will make our lives so much more blessed as we think about wisdom and use it in our minds, in our lives. So bless, we pray, thy truth this morning. Speak to each heart, we pray, and use thy word to make us better, Lord, for your glory and honor. We'll pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this chapter, Proverbs chapter 25, actually through chapters 25 through chapter 29, there are four chapters here that deal especially with instructions for kings. And these are instructions that are given in the Bible because in the Bible days, kings are the ones that ruled the world. A king would be set up on a throne. And if you look in the Bible, you'll see they did not have kings necessarily of countries. They had kings of cities. And so each city, each large city, so to speak, would have its king. And there'd be a king on that throne, not necessarily as a nation, but in a city. Now, the nation of Israel was different. They were a nation that God gave them land to an entire nation, and they had one king over that nation. You remember they came out of Egypt, and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Finally, they crossed the Jordan River, and Moses Joshua led the children of Israel. And eventually they established Jerusalem as that main city. But the thing about Israel that was different in Bible days is that they had much land where that king was the king over the whole kingdom. And all of that land was under the instruction of the king. So essentially why these chapters are so important for kings is because that king of the nation of Israel, whoever he was at the time, he was really the world power, so to speak, over all nations, over all kingdoms of the earth at that time. The height of the kingdom of Saul and David and Solomon was the highest height of the nation of Israel. It was the main world power at the time. So when Scripture's talking to the kings here, what he's saying is God is giving him wise instruction for these kings to understand so that as they lead their people, as they lead their city, but the children of Israel had a much larger land area, as the children of Israel, and by the way, God gave them that land a long time ago. Amen? I won't get into the political aspects of it today, but I want to tell you something. That land over in Israel was the children of Israel's long before Muhammad ever came along in about the 500 or 600 AD era. So that will give me a few comments on our Facebook, from the church Facebook already. But that's okay. I'm used to it. Amen. It doesn't bother me. You know, truth is still truth. Whatever's true, that's where we ought to stand. And that's what we ought to believe. And so that is the truth. Okay, so now we're talking about kings here. And the kings, this king at that time was Solomon. And how many of you can tell me who the king after Solomon was that took over? Anybody know? Rehoboam, that's right. What do we know about Rehoboam? He was a bad guy. He was a bad king. He did not serve God. A lot of evil things happened in King Rehoboam's life. And so what he did not do is he did not have these proverbs compiled at that time. Now, 270 years later, there's a man that came along, a great king named Hezekiah. And there was a great revival in Israel, but it was 270 years after Solomon was on the throne. And Hezekiah then took all of these proverbs by the inspiration of God, and they compiled them all. In the book of 1 Kings, you can go to the book of 1 Kings, and it will tell you that there's over 3,000 proverbs and songs that were written by Solomon. And so Solomon had a great influence on these proverbs. But by the way, let me remind you of this. It was not just Solomon giving us this wisdom. This is wisdom that was inspired by God that he gave Solomon. And because you remember, when Solomon was asked, what would you like? God said, I'll give you anything you want, Solomon. And Solomon didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for fame. What he asked for was wisdom. And at that time, God had his heart. He wanted to serve God. He wanted to have wisdom in his life. Because here's what's important to note at that time, is that the king was also the judge of the people. You know, in America, we've got three different branches, executive, legislative, and judicial. But in Bible days, the king was the embodiment of all three. He made the law, he told them what the law would be, and if you violated the law, he exacted the correct punishment. So he was the embodiment of the king, the judge, and the lawgiver. So Solomon here... So it's important then that this king had wisdom from God, isn't it? Because if he didn't have wisdom from God and he was to be the king over the greatest nation, the king, the judge, the lawgiver, then he certainly needed wisdom from God, didn't he? Now, let's apply this in some aspects to our own life. Don't we all need wisdom from God too in our own personal life? I mean, have you ever run up to decisions in your own life and you don't know what to do or how to turn. You know, the Bible was written to give us a pre-understanding of what to do when we run into certain situations. For example, the book Proverbs, early on in the book of Proverbs, Solomon is speaking to his son, and he says, "Son, take my words and apply them to the heart. Tie them about thy heart." Well, what's he talking about? You're not going to literally tie something around your heart. What he's saying is take my wisdom, put it in your heart, keep it in your heart, hold it in your heart, because life is all about decisions, isn't it? And whether we have success in life or not determines about our decision maker, how well we make decisions in life. And that's really what a successful life comes down to. Amen? Is, do we make decisions that are right? Well, how do we know what's right? Well, God is the creator of all right and the creator of all truth. And so when we tap into wisdom in our own personal life, we are gaining something that God tells us guides us in truth and life. And this is the value of it for us. It's not just for kings, okay? Although the context was necessary for kings at the time. But all scripture is profitable for us, isn't it? And so in the context of what he's saying here, this is the kings, but it is really to everyone who has decisions to make in life. You know, we have families and friends. I'll never forget my decision when I came to Moore. When I came to Moore, guess what? This boy did not want to come to Moore. Amen. This boy did not want to move to Moore 15 years ago. And you say, why not? Look at all these nice people in Moore. You know, look at all these nice people. I don't think most of you are here then, but look at all those nice people. But here's what I did know. I knew that God was leading me. And sometimes in life, if we hold wisdom in a great value, we'll defy what we think and place God's wisdom in a higher priority than me. See, and this is where the world gets confused. They put their will ahead of God's. And look at what happens. Look at the tangled strands of life that are left because we prioritize our own way. And you know, the Bible already tells us about that. The Bible says there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so what wisdom teaches us is that trusting only in our human thinking, which is limited, is inferior to trusting in God's thinking, which is divine and perfect and never changes. So wisdom tells me, I haven't got all the answers, but I know a God that does have the answers in life. And if I can grab a hold of his answers and allow that to guide my life, then my life is going to be blessed. I'll be honest with you, I don't always understand everything that God says in his word. But I know this, when I follow a command that God gives, defying my own logic or my own thinking, it's like tithing. You know, I started tithing over 30 years ago. That's God. That's first 10% off of my income I give to God. You can live better on 90% than you can 10%. I didn't know that. And that doesn't make sense to me. It still doesn't make sense to me. All I know is, if God said it, it works. And it's so true. If God said it, it works. And this is what Proverbs is a window into. It's, Lord, I'm going to highlight your wisdom, and I'm going to in some ways demote my own thinking so that I can allow. See, there can't be room for God's wisdom and my wisdom at the same time. There's no room for both because they conflict oftentimes. You say, you, preacher, you know, people always think, well, you know, a preacher, he always thinks like God does. Ask my wife about that. She'll tell you the truth. Amen. I don't always do that, but I want to. And I want to strive in my life to allow God's wisdom to control my thinking and to control how I lead everything I do in life. And if I can do that, as I yield to God, my life will be more blessed and successful. Amen? So that's a little bit of a premise here of what we're talking about when we come to this subject of kings in wisdom. All right, so let's look at the passage now and let's break it down here. Verse 1, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. Now there again, he's going back 270 years later. King Hezekiah, this godly king, copies what Solomon had put down in God's word. And actually what they're doing is they're compiling all the Proverbs that God gave in wisdom to Solomon so that they can be instruction tools for the people, so they can understand God better, okay? And so that was why Hezekiah did that. All right, verse 2. Yes, bless you. Amen. Verse 2. Now he's looking at kings. Notice he says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. Now, this is a very powerful truth to understand, and it is this truth that God does not reveal everything to us. God does not reveal everything to us. He reveals to us what is important for us to know. I think one reason God doesn't reveal everything to us is because he's holy and we're not. And we can't always absorb and take in the perfection of truth that he holds, you know? And so God can't show us everything yet. But God gives us windows into what we can. You know, you read the book of Revelation, you see there's a tree in heaven that has 12 manner of fruits on it. 12 different kinds of fruit. That sounds good. Amen. My doctor would approve of that tree. Amen. He liked that. But the Bible even says, eye hath not seen nor ear heard the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So in God's infinite wisdom, he's reserved knowledge of some things so that we don't know everything. Because, and us parents, we've done that too. How many of you ever told your child, we're going to have a birthday party for you on Saturday? Guess what? You are going to be bugged to death Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That child wants to know everything about it. And all God's parents said, amen, right? So you conceal the matter, right? You conceal the matter until Saturday morning. Guess what? At noon today, we're going to have your birthday party. Hallelujah. Woo! Then from the morning till noon, you get to be harassed from the morning till noon. So, but it becomes a special blessing. And think of the mind of God when he knows all, knowing that we don't know all, because there are things that God has prepared for them that love him that he's not revealed to us. Man, I can't wait to get into heaven someday, walk through the pearly gate. It's going to be amazing, the things which God's prepared. But now, by the way, the Word of God is similar for this life. The Word of God is a window into God's wisdom that if we're smart enough, we'll say, this is a lot higher than me. And if I take it and I apply it in my life, I'm going to see something good out of my life. whether I understand it or not. See, all of God's truths are not required to be understood, because some truths require faith in God. Some truths require us to trust God and to take God at His word. Amen? And I don't understand everything about God. And you don't either, because we're human and He's God. But God's teaching us. God, through Proverbs, gives us windows into there. And He's saying, I'm not going to tell you everything now. I'm not going to reveal everything. And by the way, that brings us some hope and joy, knowing that, well, there's some wonderful things awaiting for us. Things that I cannot see, I cannot imagine, and things I cannot even preach to you, because God hasn't told me. He hasn't told anybody. But we know, according to Scripture, that there will be things that will blow our mind. You ever seen that little emoji that you put on there with the mind blown? You ever seen that little emoji? Yeah. That's kind of how I am oftentimes when I hear the Word or hear the Bible. It just blows my mind. And by the way, it always reminds me of the goodness of God, how good God really is. You know, some people have this idea of God that He's this guy up in heaven with a big stick, and as soon as you mess up, boom, He's going to hit you on the head, you know. Some people have that view of God. And by the way, God is a God of justice. He is a God of justice. But I want to tell you something. There is a good and wonderful God who is still in control of this universe. You know, I look at the world, it's crazy. I mean, it is crazy. I could preach a month of Sundays on it. But there's something that gives me peace through it all. And that is, I know there is a God who's controlling. His hand is control over all of it. And that gives me peace in chaos. And by the way, I don't like it. I don't like how this world's going. And as a preacher, I know this. Only the Word of God is going to change anything in our world. That's it. The Word of God's the only thing. Because man's tried it for centuries and decades and only messed it up. You know? So, here we see God conceals things. Okay, but now look at the rest of the verse, and look at verse 2. But the honor of kings is to search out a matter. So what he's saying is there are some things that can be learned by seeking. There are some things that we don't know, but if we'll search them out, then we can find things that we don't know. You know? And life is a learning lesson. We know that in life. We learn things that we don't know. I still learn things that I didn't know. You know, my teachers probably tried to teach it to me when I was in ninth grade, and my brain didn't listen, you know. But there are things that can be learned by seeking them out. And here's what God is teaching us through this, is that there should be a motivation and some kind of drive in every Christian to find out more about God than what we know today. I want to learn more about God's goodness, His omnipotence. I want to learn more about God's Word and how God is faithful to us. I want to learn more about God. So even though God's concealed a lot of things, there are things that if we will seek out that God wants us to know, we can become wiser and more blessed in this life. And you know, I thank God that He gave us a whole book. He gave us a whole book to open up. You know, I hear people say, oh, the Bible, it's an old book. That wasn't from God. That's a book of man. They have no idea what they're talking about. They have no idea. I mean, just looking at how this book was compiled historically, even from a historical aspect, how this book came together is absolutely unbelievable. And the odds of this book coming together, being in our hands today as it is astronomical figures. but God did it so that we might have windows into his wisdom and windows into what he wants us to know as we search him out. You know, a person can take the Bible and just put it on a shelf if they want, or they can have a different mindset about it and say, you know what, there's some good stuff in there. And if I can grab a hold of one of those things of truth in Scripture, I'll be a lot better. I'll be a lot smarter. And life will be more blessed and go well for us. So even though God does not reveal everything, he wants us to seek for him. You know, there is a joy in anticipation. You understand what I mean? Remember when you were a kid and you wanted to go to that theme park? You were anticipating it all week long. There was a certain amount of happiness and joy through the anticipation of it. And then you got there and you enjoyed it. But when you were done, the joy of the anticipation was over, you know, because you've already been there. You've been there, done that. You know, that anticipation. You know, a Christian ought to live with anticipation every day in his life. You say, why is that? It's because we have so much that we haven't seen or known yet. And there are things that we can touch on already that give us the joy of that anticipation. Well, there's things in the Bible when you learn, you pull them out. Man, isn't that good? Woo! That's just a good thing. And so God's teaching us here, he has riches. Now notice, some of these riches are unsearchable. Look at verse 3. The heaven for height and the earth for depth and the heart of kings is unsearchable. Take away the dross from the silver and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Okay, so we now get into here instructions for the king. And verse 4 gives us one of these instructions that Solomon gives kings. Notice what he says here. Take away the dross from the silver. Now, what is dross? Dross is the impurities that come when the silver, gold, or whatever precious metal is heated. The dross rises to the surface. It's skimmed off, and that's what makes it pure. You know, there's degrees of gold, you know, like 0.99% pure or 0.999% pure. I don't know. I don't have any of it. That ring is the only gold thing I own right there. And I can't get it off of my knuckle. That ring has been on that finger for over 25 years. It has not come off. And if I take it off, my wife will shoot me anyway. So I'm not going to take it off. And I don't want to take it off. Amen. It is a fixture of me. That's me. That right there. Amen. And so, so to make the point of what he's trying to say here is that there needs to be, a king needs a pure heart. A king needs a pure heart. Take away that dross. Take away those impurities. Why? Because the king has to make good judgment calls. And if he's skewed by impurity, then he's going to make decisions that really don't, are not profitable, that don't honor God, that are not helpful, that are not good. And so it teaches us here that where we put our mind in life, it influences us. Where we put our mind on, it influences us. Wherever the mind goes, it becomes a part of our life. And now we know Solomon later on in life, he kind of got messed up. I think he had all these pleasures and he kind of forgot God. And he really created this harem in Israel, and that harem turned his heart away from God. The scripture tells us that. And I think that's one reason why Rehoboam, his son after him, was not a good king. It was because of that influence on Rehoboam's mind that he saw, and it affected him. So we cannot separate our lifestyle from our actions. You know, we had a president a few years back that said, my private life is different than my public life. Little did he know and understand that God's wisdom teaches that our private life is part of our public life. It is. And you can't separate the two, because Scripture's teaching here the king needs that dross taken away from him. And you know, God does that in our life every day. He does it graciously. You notice that? God graciously pulls that dross out of our life. And you know, though, sometimes he's got to put us in the fire for the dross to come to the surface. Sometimes God puts us in some heated places. And that heat kind of doesn't feel good. But what is it doing? It's taking away some of that impurity in our lives. And I've said this before, but I think it's so true. We get closer to God in hard times than we do in good times. I believe that's true. And so in that sense, hard times should not be despised by a Christian. They're not fun. It's not pleasant. We don't ask for them. But on the other side of that coin, we have to recognize that sometimes God sends us through some heated times in our life so that that dross can be pulled away. What is it doing? It's making the silver finer. Amen? It's making us a better Christian. And so in that sense, every Christian should welcome those pressured times, those heated times, those times of life, not in the sense that we like the trouble. You know, we're not gluttons for punishment. But we are at the same point understanding that God can work through this. God does good things when he takes away the dross. And so the king here is admonished to go through that. Go through that. He says the rest of verse 4, there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. A better vessel. A better vessel. And this is what God wants us to be. That better vessel. All right, verse 5. He says, take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Now, I wrote this down about verse 5, is that kings are also influenced by others. A king is influenced by others. He says, take away that wicked from before the king. How many of you remember in the book of Esther how King Ahasuerus, Artaxerxes, remember how King Artaxerxes was influenced by Haman, and Haman was a wicked man. And he went along with a lot until he finally saw through Haman's devices. And when he did, it changed that course. And what it teaches us is that kings are influenced. And I got news for you, we are too. We're influenced by the world around us. We all are. And we have to, as kings, and actually as leaders and just people that make decisions in our life every day, we have to understand that these things can influence us to the wrong, in the wrong way. You know, this idea of, you know, free love, free sex, do whatever you want, live however you want, you know, make yourself happy, eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow you may die. You better live it up now because, you know, it's not going to last forever. Let me tell you something. That influence is permeated in our world today. And what it's done, it's brought people's minds to a place where this influence, the evil world we live in, is part of our brain. And and we live in this world. And can I tell you, we have to come out of those influences. We have to allow God's word to influence us over the influences of the world. The devil, it's his desire to influence. You remember all the way back in Genesis 3, in the Garden of Eden, how the devil, he was in the form of a serpent at the time, that sneaky, wily deceiver came down, found Eve, and God had told her, you can eat of all the fruit of the tree, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't touch it. By the way, that tree, God didn't want him to touch it because God wanted to be the only one that had knowledge of good and evil. He wanted us to be simple and full of faith and full of trusting God. But then the old devil came along and said, Eve, hath God said, you know, he said, you know, God knows that when you eat of it, you'll become like God. You'll be just as smart as God. And Eve said, oh, really? I'd like to be smart like God too. But she disobeyed God. She crossed God's obedience line. And when she did that, what happened? Sin and death took over into the heart and life. That sin and death is passed on to all of us, according to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. That sin and death is all ours. And so, as a result, Satan's influence was able to get into Eve in her life. So we have to be guarded Christians in the sense that we know this world is desiring to influence us. That old devil, he's the prince of the power of the air. And we have to stay close to God. We have to admonish his word higher than those influences around us. Let me tell you something. This book is so much greater than anything Satan has to offer. Amen. This book is incredible. And, you know, people who don't really care about the Bible don't know of its treasures. And I want everybody to know of its treasures because these treasures will guide your life in a wonderful path, in a wonderful way. But when they're rejected, we trust in our own human wisdom, and what happens? Boy, things start going in the wrong direction. They start swirling away from God. So we have to understand that we can be influenced by the world. And by the way, that's why I don't want to be in worldly places, because of what it'll do to my mind. You know, the devil just says, well, accept this. Accept that. You know, we have accepted so many things in society that God does not want us to accept. And it's his desire to influence us to accept it because his goal, he hates God. You know? And so we can't yield to worldly influences, realizing that they cloister my mind with falsehoods, and they really are enemies of God, and they affect us negatively. So we have to be wise to that. Wisdom tells me I can't be influenced by everything. Wisdom tells me that. Years ago, I taught this lesson to my son, Taylor, years ago. We got a card in the mail, and that card on it had a little fake key that was glued to it. And it said, congratulations, you are the winner of a new Dodge truck. Well, my son, he was probably eighth grade at that time. He said, look at Daddy, we want a new truck. I said, son, it's not. Yeah, it says we want a new truck. So I said, okay, I think we'll use this as a teaching moment. So we grabbed that, got in the car, and went down to the Dodge dealer. And he said, Dad, we brought the thing in, and he said, hey, we got this key in the mail. It says we want a new Dodge truck. Oh, Well, the fine print down at the bottom says you get to spin the wheel to see if you can win the new truck. So he got up there and he spun the wheel. And guess what? He didn't win a new truck. You know what? I'm glad I did that. Because in life, isn't there a lot of deception? But you know what? There may be a lot of deception, but God has a lot of wisdom. And God's wisdom is very protective of us because we're his children. He wants us to have his wisdom because he wants us to be protected from the devices that are going on in the world. And if I'm wise, I'll say, God, your word is wise. And Lord, I could surely use a whole boatload of your wisdom in my life. And if I have your wisdom, I know God will bless and use our life. And that's the principle here. That's essentially what God is teaching us here. Is let's take wisdom. Let's hold it up honorably. And let's say, God, you've got some good things in your word, and I want to hold your word dear in my heart and my mind. And watch the blessings of God come from it. It's funny because, you know, principles that you live by and you defy your own self, they just work. And, amen, they're preaching in there. Amen. But when those principles, you see them, you see God bless in your life, it's a wonderful thing. And God uses them in our lives. Amen. All right, well, we're going to stop right there. We'll pick up here. I didn't even get to half of the lesson today. Amen. So if you want to stay around after church this morning, we'll go to about 4 or 5 o'clock, and then we're okay. All right. All right. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you.